Cord. So this week is Shabbat HaGadol, and what's interesting about that is that everyone calls it that, but no one knows why. It's at least going back.
Isn't it for the Haftorah?
Ah, that's what we'll talk about. Not clear. The discussion of it goes back at least to the time of Tosfot, so that's 12th century. Bori says it's called Shabbat HaGadol, and he gives the one of the reasons it's commonly given. I won't quote Tosfot like I told the reason given. He gives the reason basically given the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Shulchan Aruch discussing is a siman that has exactly one sifin, one paragraph. Shabbat Shifnei Pesach Karina to Shabbat HaGadol. Hanes Shenasabo, cause the miracle that happened on this Shabbos, right? And the Ramah says, Minhag Lomar, Mincha Agadah, Mincha Avadim Hayinu L'Adlecha, Peral Kol, that there's a Minhag to read the Magid section of the Haggadah, which I always forget, but it's there. Poskim Lomar, Baruch Nafshi, and people will start saying Baruch Nafshi on this Shabbos, and then we'll kind of move into saying, learning Pirkei Avot. But so the Shulchan Aruch just says there was a nes then, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes what the nes was. And again, this reason goes back to Tosfot, not to Torah. This is Shabbat HaGadol, mipnei nes shebashana sheyetzu Mitzrayim. So the year they went out of Egypt right before the Mitzrayim, haya asar b'nisa b'yom Shabbat. Gemara in Shabbos calculates when the Mitzrayim was, when Matan Torah was. And concludes that the 10th of Nisan, that they left on a Thursday. So the 10th of Nisan was Shabbos. And what happened on the 10th of Nisan? Lachu kol echam Yisrael sela pischo. That's when they actually took their, sh they were told to take their sheep for the Korban Pesach on the 10th of Nisan. That's explicit in the text. So that was on that Shabbos. The kashru b'charei mitan, they tied it to their bedposts. Kishem Shekatuv Besor Lachorosh. Oh, it's Kamukka. Let me sorry, change that.
It's shame.
Kamo, it's Kamo.
Oh, come out.
Kamo Shekatuv, sorry. And that changed the footnote. Okay, that's the mitzvah. They took their seh on the 10th. Mitzrim ra'ozeh, and the Egyptians saw v'shalum lomazilachem, and everyone they're asking, what are you doing? They shivu l'shachtol shem pesach. Mitzvah Hashem aleinu, that they say we're going to sacrifice it. V'yoshinem kehot, and that put the Egyptians' teeth on edge, al sheshachtonet Elohim, because that was the sheep was the divinity of the Egyptians, and they were upset. Lo yirashim lo mar lahem davar, and at that point, after all the plagues, the Egyptians didn't do anything. That was felt to be that was a big nes. The Egyptians didn't touch them, didn't
Oh.
protest. Nesha other yasir b'chodesh b'Shabbat, because that was the 10th day of Shabbat. That was on Shabbat. I can't kabul the Shabbat l'shaveh, a Shabbat le'olam Shabbat hagadol. So instead of calling the 10th of Nisan the day of taking the Korban Pesach, they associated with Shabbos instead of as being this was the day that they took the Korban Pesach. Yeah, because it's associated with, it doesn't do with Shabbos, it was more the 10th of Nisan. So we should be celebrating 10th of Nisan. So it's an odd reason, but that's the Mishnah Berurah, that's the Shulchan Aruch, that's Tosfot. The Vudraham gives an, I think, a nice variation on that. It wasn't Shabbat HaGadol, not because of a nest. It wasn't so much a nest that the Egyptians didn't protest. Because at this point, the Egyptians were beaten. They just had gone through nine plagues. They weren't going to protest anything. This is quoted in Wikipedia. I didn't find it in the Avodah Zarah. I found it in Wikipedia about that. It says, Avodah Zarah spear, that taking the Korban Pesach was their first mitzvah. Bar mitzvah. So this was like the bar mitzvah day. This is the first mitzvah. So this is the mitzvah of becoming a gadol.
That's the first mitzvah, not a chodesh hazeh yelachim.
But yeah, that was that. Okay, that was the first mitzvah. But Bnei Yisrael didn't do that.
Oh.
That's the first mitzvah that the people actually did. The first mitzvah
Really?
you got was okay, you're gonna have Rosh Chodesh, and the mitzvah of, and the that part, the next part of the paragraph is on the 10th day of the month, you're gonna take your Korban Pesach. So the people didn't do anything with the Rosh Chodesh. This is the first mitzvah. So this Shabbat Hagadol means the Shabbos of adulting. I like that Gadol. It's not, I like that reason. I mean, it doesn't, because it doesn't feel like much of a net, it doesn't feel like a much of a miracle. But the idea that Shabbat Hagadol, that they this is the first time that they actually said, okay, here's a commandment. We're going to do a commandment as a commandment.
So
That's beautiful.
Gadol here is almost like adults.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That Shabbat Hagadol means the Shabbat of adulting.
Oh, there it is. Shabbat
Right.
of adulting. Adulthood.
Yes. I like telling my patients, the teenagers, that adult is a verb, not a noun.
Maybe it's adultering. No.
I've made that pun before too.
Okay.
Okay, yes. Okay, but there are other reasons for calling Shabbat Hagadol. This is one of the famous ones, is Shibboleth HaLeket, which was 13th century Italian collection of Halachot Minhagim. Why is it called Shabbat Hagadol? That because the people are invited on this Shabbos. The Shmo HaDrasha Shel Rav. Because this is the Shabbos, there is a long drasha. Shabbos Gadol Drasha. And it goes really from noon until Mincha time. And the rabbi talks about the halachas of Pesach and whatever the message is. Lesaper, and he talks with Drosh Pekahal, and he explains publicly at Kol Asher Asa everything that would happen. Moshe Harbe, and the rabbi goes on forever with this drasha. Ba'am enan niftarim lebateihem. And the people don't go home until he's done. The rabbi's done talking. We've named Meshach Zeh, and because it goes on so long, so nobody gets their Shabbos nap on this Shabbos. It seems like a really long Shabbos. This is Shabbat Hagadol, meaning it's the longest Shabbos because you've got to listen to this long drash. But I like it. I assume everyone's going to go to hear the Shabbat HaGadol Drasha, and they'll say, boy, this was long. Yisachar Jacobson has a nice little book about the Haftarot called Chazon HaMikra. And he points out there's a grammatical problem all of this, is that Shabbat is feminine. Okay? If it's about how long, great, wonderful Shabbos is, it should be Shabbat HaGadolah. Why do we call it Haggadah? The answer that Davida brought up was brought by the Matei Moshe, 17th century Poland, Talmud of the Marshal. He knows that a lot of Shabbatot have names. And the names are basically after either the special Torah reading or special Haftorah reading. We have Shabbat Zachor, Shabbat Nachamu, after the Haftorah, after Tisha B'Av, Shabbat Chazon. Chazon Yeshayahu is Haftorah before Tisha B'Av. Shabbat Shuvah, Shuvah Yisrael, the Haftorah we have between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And this is no exception. Because this is named really is after the Haftorah. We have a special Haftorah that has the pasuk of Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem et Eliyahu HaNavi. Lo, I'm going to send you Eliyahu HaNavi. Lifnei bo Yom Hashem, before the coming of the day of the Lord, Hagadol Hanarad, the great and awesome day. So it's Shabbat, literally, of Hagadol. It's the Shabbat where we recite the pasuk of Yom Hashem Hagadol. So that avoids the grammatical problem.
I like that.
Okay, so I mean, that it seems to be the most obvious reason. So everyone called it Shabbat Hagadol because that's where we read the Haftorah of Hagadol. And we read the Haggadah because it fits in with the day. So, I mean, the Haftorah is because of the days right before Pesach, but the name itself doesn't come from Pesach per se, it comes from Haftorah. What's interesting is that this is the last pasuk of the Haftorah. I'm going to open this up here. But it's not the last pasuk of the parak, because it's one of those times where we repeat the pasuk. It's the penultimate, it's the second to last parak. So if you look at the Perek, this is the long Perek in Malachi, Zichru Torah Moshe, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem et Eliyahu HaNavi, Lifnei Bo Yom HaShem HaGadol V'Hanara, banim. We know the song. Le banim al botam. That Eliyahu will come and bring the hearts of fathers to their sons and sons to fathers, lest I come and destroy the earth completely. And we don't want to end on a negative note.
But at the noticing, I'm not going to do that because
Yeah, but
Eliyahu will.
yes. So it's not negative, but it just the wording is just sounds like a downer way to end right, just a downer way to end the sentence. You're right, the thought's positive. We're fine with the thought, but the words are just downer. So we're gonna do that. So if you're gonna sing the song, we just end the song at Avotam and just skip the last one. For Haftorah, we're not gonna skip it. We're gonna say the pasuk out, but we repeat the last pasuk, the second to right, the penultimate. But we see. So we say the whole thing at Eretz Cherem, and then we say it, we go back and say, Hinei Nochi Shulechem et Eliyahu HaNavi, Lifnei Bo Yom HaShem HaGadol Ben Hara. So we repeat the second to last pasuk. So we do that in other Haftorahs as well. We do it at the end of Eicha. Right? The Hashivein HaShem HaLecha V'neshuv HaChayishim HaKikedem is not the last pasuk. It's the second to last, but the last one ends on kind of a that downer note, so we go back into Hashiveinu. Kohelet is the same way. Gizeh kol adam, that's happy. Shabbat, of course, ends Yeshaya, and we do the same thing. It ends on a down note, so we repeat the second to last pasuk. Standard thing. So we have these last two psukim. The thing about the interesting is that in terms of the colloquial names for the other Shabbatot, the name for a significant word in the first pasuk. Nachamu Nachamu Ami, Chazon right? Shuva Hashem. So why, but why would you call the day after the last pasuk? That's what we're doing here, right? The Haftorah starts pasuk Daled. Varvah Hashem Nchat Yudav Yishalayim. The Perek starts with Yishalech Malachi, right? I will send my Malach. Right, about the future day of redemption, all about about Mashiach. And it starts with Baruch Hashem. So why do I call it Shabbat Arba or Shabbat Minchat Yehuda? We don't. We name it after the last pasuk of Yom Hashem Gadol V'Nara.
What is that day? Is that a bad day or a good day?
Yes. That's the whole
The
point. It's the day of becoming. It's the day of becoming Mashiach, and his whole point is that it is Judgment Day, and that's what the pen. That's his whole point at the end, right? That this needs to happen. Pen avobikita to Eretz Cherem, lest I destroy the world. So you need to get it right, or this Judgment Day will either come out very, the day that restoration of everything, Mashiach, or we're just going to destroy everything. But in terms of why it's named Shabbat HaGadol after this last pasuk, I haven't seen that same answer. So I'm going to suggest an answer. I'm going to suggest the answer that that Hinei Nochi Shulech Lakem is the first pasuk of the Haftorah. The whole Haftorah is two psukim long. That's the message of the Shabbos before Pesach is Hinei Nochi Shulech Lakem at Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Nara. Done. But you can't have a two pasuk haftorah. That's halacha. That's Gemara over here. Maftir b'Navi, when you're reading the Maftir in a Navi, and this is the Gemara. So it's before they had set minhagim as to which one you did. Basically, the Baal Maftir you get to pick whatever felt relevant from the Nevi'im. But lo yifchot me'asrim ve'achad psukim. It's a minimum of 21 psukim. K'neged shivah shekar v'Torah, because it corresponds to the three aliyot of the Torah, three psukim per aliyah. So your Torah reading has a minimum of 21 psukim. Your Haftorah has a minimum of 21 psukim. So then we go back, and we can't go forward. We can't start at Shabbat HaGadol, Yom Gad Hashem HaGadol V'Nara, and then go forward another 21 psukim. Because this is the end of the Perek, is the end of the Sefer Malachi, and it's the end of Nevi'im. Malachi is the last Navi. There is no more forward to go. So we go back. We go back, we count, so we end up with 21 psukim total. So we count back to Pasuk Dalet, which is why we start the Torah in the middle of the thought, right? The parak starts at Aleph. Varvar Hashem Menachat Yerushalayim is continuing about this great judgment day at that point. But it's not
It's
really the
good.
Haftarah. The
It
Haftarah is
explains
21
two
psukim.
things. It
I'm sorry?
explains two things. Why Shabbat HaGadol and why it starts at Dalet.
Right. This is my hypothesis.
Yeah, I like it.
Hopefully some. So he says some of that. Okay. So then, if that's the case, what is the connection? Why this Haftarah? Why the coming of Eliyahu on the Shabbos before Pesach? And the obvious reason is, well, we talk about the redemption, right? The redemption of Egypt and this eschatological vision of the redemption of Mashiach. That's the whole point of Avar L'Hashem Minchay Yerushalayim. And that's, we know the Gemara, Rabbi Shua Omer, B'nisan Nigalu, we were redeemed in Nisan, B'nisan Atin Ligael. And the future redemption will be in Nisan. Mashiach will come next week. Okay, especially if we can keep the flags waving. Amakra, and the pasuk said implies that Leil Shmirim Hu LaHashem, that this night of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a night that was reserved. LaHashem, Yetzias Mitzrayim, reserved by Hashem to take them out of Egypt. Hu LaLaZeh, same night. LaHashem Shmirim, it is reserved L'chol Bnei Yisrael L'dorotam for all generations. It is Leil Mishumar. This is the reserved night. This is the Atid Din Goel. But if you want a Geula kind of image, this Haftarah is not about the Geula. Again, this is kind of this idea of a day of judgment before the Geula. Look at Malachi back here. It talks about the whole thing is that that he will be purified, he will smelt and purify the silver, and he will purify the Levium, etc. Zahav is about, it's really about a judgment call here. There are lots of options in Nevi'im for eschatology, for looking at Yimot Mashiach. This is about Eliyahu as a harbinger of the Geula. Eliyahu comes before us.
Harbinger, the harbinger.
I didn't bring my, it should have picked that up as a definition. A harbinger, I looked
I
this
know,
up.
I know, I know what it is.
It means a herald, someone who signals the beginning of, but the origin of it is the same as the English word harbor or shelter.
Oh.
Because a harbinger was the guy who was sent ahead of your caravan to find shelter or lodging.
Oh.
That's what a harbinger is. The original meaning. Nobody used that one. In fact, harbinger in French is to accommodate or to host.
Oh,
So, the other harbinger. He's the one who sent ahead to find the Geula. Okay, so what happened
harbinger.
before Mashiach? So, what's Eliyahu's role as the harbinger, the herald of Mashiach? Okay, we usually think of it as being announcing Mashiach's coming, right? Mashiach, Eliyahu's going to come and say Mashiach's coming, and so that's what we have this Kost Eliyahu in at the Seder, which is a symbol of the fifth Lashon Shel Geula. We have the four cups, there are four Lashonot Geula, Hotzeiti, Itzalti, Ga'alti, Lakachti, and then the next pasuk is Heveti Etchem El Ha'aretz. I will bring them, and there's a question whether you should have a fifth cup. So when Eliyahu comes, then we'll drink that fifth cup. And the other way of looking at Eliyahu is the one who decides halachic questions, right? Eliyahu comes at the end of days, and we have the idea of Teiku, Tishbi, Yataris, Kushiyot, Bayot. Eliyahu will come and will help decide all of our halachic questions. And that's what Kos Eliyahu will that reflects the argument of whether we should have a fifth cup or not. There's Machlokas Rishonim, whether you should, whether you could, are you allowed to drink or not. And Eliyahu, so we're going to wait until Eliyahu, we'll leave it here on the table and let Eliyahu decide if we should drink it or not. And that's Rabbi Shulman's Shabbos HaGadol Drasha is all going to be about this fifth cup at the Seder.
People here do a
Yeah.
fifth cup for the Heveti.
Right. So that is exactly what it is for. The question is, should we use, does it count? Do we celebrate Heveti or not? That's the question.
Why not?
Well, that's, you know, do we it, does Heveti imply everything implied in the Yimot Mashiach? And are we in that time already? Again, that's a good question. You could argue that yes, we are, and you should drink it. Menachem Kasher certainly did. Argue
Who
that.
did?
Menachem Kasher is the Haggadah Shlema, Torah Shlema. He's got what he is. That was Avery Fredman's, I think, father-in-law is the St. Louis connection. Talmud Chacham wrote the Torah Shlema was this massive encyclopedic compendium of Midrashim.
But can't you drink it without this geula piece, just as
That's
a
a, that is a
historical?
so I encourage you to listen to Rabbi Shulman's Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, and those are all good questions.
How am I going to listen to it?
I don't know. So I thought you were kind of stuck. He may do it, may record it after Shabbos. He may give it after Shabbos also.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can't get him some stuff. So I don't have an answer here. But again, those are the questions. You're not allowed to eat after the fourth. You're not allowed to eat after the Avkom. You're not allowed to drink after the last cup, right? That should be kind of the last thing there. But does the fifth cup count?
Wait. You're not allowed to what? You
You're
can't
not
eat
allowed to
after
eat
the
after the
Afikomen,
Avkom, and you're not supposed to
but have it
drink
do
after
it
the
before
fourth
the.
cup.
You're not allowed to drink after the fourth cup.
You can certainly have water.
Yeah.
That is a lot of question whether you can drink another cup, whether you can drink more wine. And there definitely are posting who say you can do it, and the posting says you can't.
Not connected to a fifth cup
Right.
with
So
symbolism,
that's
just
what
drinking
I'm saying
wine.
is that becomes this question of are you allowed to? Are you for, is it forbidden? Is it encouraged? Like I should drink this fifth cup because the Heveti means something. Is it mandatory? Which is the opinion of the Mishnah. Like we're Jews, we have four different opinions,
Right.
four different possibilities. So we have at least 10 different opinions, right? Okay.
Yeah.
It's Kostel Eliyahu, right? Eliyahu's gonna have to figure this all out.
Well, it's not Kosher Eliyahu. It's just for Heveti. It's just another
It's
step.
Kostel Eliyahu symbolize the fact that there is a question that needs to be answered. And Eliyahu is the one who's going to answer the question. So it's not that Eliyahu is going to drink it, but we're
No,
going to
but
wait
what
for
I mean
somebody to
is,
decide.
it's not a substitute for Kosher Eliyahu. People who do for Heveti, they also have a Kosher
They will have a
Eliyahu.
Yekos, yes, but that's a part of the minhag as well. So
Yeah.
that's what
Okay.
that is what it means. Moshe Harbei v'amen yifturim v'tehem shimur kol. That there's lots to say on the subject, and I'm sure it will go on and on forever. And I will not get my Shabbos now. It will be Shabbat HaGadol. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what that Torah says. Torah
Oh.
doesn't mention anything about drinking a fifth cup of wine. Torah
Right.
says Eliyahu is coming. Why? Right? For the purpose of I'm sending you Eliyahu. I'm going to bring the hearts of parents to children, children to parents. What does that mean? I don't know what it means, but I better figure it out because it's important. Because if it doesn't happen, penavovi keti the amcherem, because otherwise I already care. If not, Shem says, on this great day, this awesome day, I'm going to wipe everything out. I'm going to destroy the earth completely. That is Yom Gadol. It won't be a day of gula, but of cherem of destruction. So the Mishnah is a mission of an idiot discusses what does that mean? What is this? What does that imply? So I'm going to be sure.
Families will get along. That's all it means. Families
that
will
would be
get
a nice.
along.
Okay, so we will get to that answer. That's
Okay.
not the first answer in the mission. Okay. First answer in the mission goes back to this mitzvah. We quoted that from Malachi about mitzaref. Umetaher, that this is about purifying, that it's about reuniting parents and children, about this, it's a question of your ichus, of deciding who's really Jewish. That's what Eliyahu is going to decide. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. B'kuba animi Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I have a Kabbalah from my rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shammai Rabbah, Rabbah, tradition going back from one rabbi to the next. Halach Moshe, we say, going back to Moshe. Eliyahu ba, that Eliyahu, Moshe didn't talk about Eliyahu, but this final Geula, when we finally enter Israel and reach the final end times. Eliyahu is not here to declare some people tame, some people tar, to bring strangers closer, to distance those who think they should be close. Ella, or rather, he is coming, but in a specific case. Eliyahu is going to come and say that those who join the community by force, Eliyahu will reject them. And those who are expelled by force, Eliyahu will bring them back. Example, and he says, here's an example, a local example. Mishpachat b'nei tzrifa, and there's a family out in Jordan. Rachakah ben Zion, I don't know who Ben Zion was, Bezroah, and they were expelled by force, inappropriately, and that such people, they're going to be brought back. Eliyahu is going to say, no, you really are belong part of the Jewish community. But od acharet, and there's another family, Haita Sham, that was there, but cover Ben Zion Bezroah, and Ben Zion said, no, whatever his political power was, said they're part of the Jews. He's not going to name them, because this is a family that is part of the Jewish community. He's saying they aren't really. So that would be much harder to say it about them. Second, there's another one there. Eliyahu is going to come and step this you and say, you're really Jewish, you're really not Jewish. That's Eliyahu's job. Say who is a Jew. And right, so everyone has the same reaction you do. That's very negative. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that's a terrible answer. No, Eliyahu is coming, lekarev, aval lo lerachek.
Good.
Right, okay, we right, this is. Right, the Rebbe says no. No, Eliyahu is not going to reject anyone who feels they're Jewish. Eliyahu is not going to say no. You're not really Jewish. Get out of here. But he'll come to bring those in who are lost. That's good. That's heishiv lev avota banim. Will bring all the lost banim back to avotam. Okay, and this is the part two explaining that l'rachei kama korovim bezroa that those shekol mechazikim. Everyone accepts them as Jewish. Even though they're pasul, they were brought in forcefully. I mean, in other words, they pushed their way into the community and said, I'm Jewish, even though they weren't necessarily. But a family that literally assembly became part of. The Jewish community, because they didn't know they were possibly Yanichet, will be left as part of the community. They're not going to reject everybody, just those that came to Israel before us. But Ibn Yerpuda says, no, it's about Eliyahu's not rejecting anybody. Eliyahu is just bringing new ones into the community. Rabbi Shimon says completely differently. It's a metaphor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, la'ashivot ha-machloket. This is the take. Eliyahu's going to come to decide halachic arguments. And he says, because it's a metaphor. This is again the Bartanura. The Rebbe Shimon, Avot Elo Chachamim, Banim Eno Talmidim. Vashev Lev Avot El Banim is to reconcile all the teachers, all the students, that we won't have any more arguments,
That's nice.
which is nice. And Vayo Lev Kulan Shevel, you po Banim Machloket. We're not going to argue. We'll have one source of answers. Which I don't know. It seems very strange that we're going to stop arguing at Yom HaMashiach. It's like it seems that's what we do.
Yeah,
It's like it's a very strange thought. So that's Rabbi Shimon. Chachamim Omrim. But the way we all understand it is the way the Chachamim say. Lo l'rachek lo l'karev. We're not really. I was not here about Yichus to bring. You're really part of the Jewish community. You're really not. Ela lasot shalom ba'olam. He's coming to bring peace in the world. That's what it means. It's the lev, as you just said. It's make peace between family members within a family. That's what Eliyahu's going to come. And he's going, it's broader than just within families. It's lasot shalom ba'olam. Eliyahu's going to come and do this. Okay? And that, we say, is the message of Shabbat HaGadol, right before Pesach comes. If you can't get along, there's no geula. Penyavo v'keti aretz berem. If Eliyahu doesn't do that, then the Yom HaGeulah will be a judgment day, and Hashem's going to wipe everyone out. And I'm quoting here. Anyone ever hear this song called Mashiach's Hat? It's
Not me.
cute. It's
Do you
a
remember we did it on the play once? We did it once
what?
in Shabbat.
You play, yeah. So evidently, this was written by Rabbi Yitzhak Feigenbaum in the 90s, who is an Esh HaTorah guy in Toronto, who's the father of Avi Feigenbaum in St. Louis, who's the executive director of Beis Yaakov. So everything's connected. So the story is, and the copyright on there, he's got a just like I have a copyright about the Creative Commons. The copyright says I need to copy the whole thing down, so it's a long thing. Won't read it, but basically, Hashem says Mashiach's gonna come. So Mashiach comes down and he walks into a shul and they say, "You can't be Mashiach. You're not wearing a black hat." So Mashiach says, "Fine." Puts on a black hat. Goes to the next shul and says, "You can't be Mashiach. You're wearing a black hat." Says, "Fine." Puts on a kippah through God. Goes to the next shul and says, "You can't be Mashiach. You're not wearing a hat." Puts on his, okay, fine. Goes out with black hat. He says, "No, you can't wear a fedora. You got to wear one of the round ones with a brim that, the brim's up and all that." And so he goes from one place to another, and everyone tells him he's dressed wrong for to be Mashiach. And so Mashiach just gives up and says, gives up and says, "Well, we'll have to come maybe another time." And they all appear and, "Please wait, do not leave. It's all their fault," they said, pointing to each other. And he ends with a great line and says, "No." Mashiach looked back and answered, "The first place to start is to shut up your mouths and open up your hearts."
Shut
And
up.
that is
Wow.
the message of larger there. If you want me to come, work a little harder on your Avat Anyway, that's kind of the negative side, that Eliyahu will come lehishiv levavot al banim. And it's not just within, within families, because Pesach is a good time to get together with all your family members and get the arguments about politics. And if you do that, then there's no geula. Okay? I'm sure that's true of the first Pesach as well. They all had to stay inside and sit and eat with each other in their houses. And if they get into a fight, then they're not leaving Egypt. And the same thing is true now. And if we can't get along, then no, then there's no geula. And the song is much more gentle than the Navi is, right? The song, Mashiach just leaves and figures he'll come back later. Malachi is threatening worse than that. That's, "I'm going to wipe out the, why, I'm just going to wipe out the land, right? We're just going to destroy everything if you can't do along."
Oy.
So, but it's not bad, right? I mean, Pesach is a good time. I mean, we don't want to eat each other's house because we're all stringent on this and we want to eat that and all that. The message of Shabbat HaGadol, that's why we do it on the Shabbos beforehand, is that just like all the other Shabbatot with special reading, special Haftorah, is to give us a message, like giving Shekalim, remember Purim is coming for Zachar. That this is the Atin LeGael, but that Gula can fall apart if we can't get along.
But it sounds like Eliyahu is going to bring the
Ah,
peace.
very good. So that's my point. It ends on a hopeful note because this is a message of hope. The Eliyahu will come. That's the Nevuah. And that we are going to have the point of Levavot and Levayim together. It's a
What
message
I
of
mean
hope.
is, we don't have to do the work. Eliyahu will make us get along.
Okay, well, one would hope to that. I don't know if you can rely on the fact that Eliyahu is going to make it happen. It'll happen. We'll get there. Whether we may be beaten over the head until we happen. Fundamentally, the faith that it will happen, that we can get along. However much that's a Nes HaGadol of Shabbat HaGadol, right? We gotta get along there. But that's what faith in Biat Mashiach means, okay? And I like this line from Rabbi Sacks's One People with a question mark on there. It's a great book. You see that? It's from the 90s, it was before he was chief rabbi. But talking about the divisions again 30 years ago. But if faith implies anything, faith in God, the Jewish people, or the covenant, to bind one to the other as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That faith implies this, that Jews, having come thus far, will not now disintegrate. That would mean to be imamim be'emunah shelem b'biyat HaMashiach. It's not so much about the redemption, it's the faith in B'nai Israel. We will not disintegrate, so advance along the journey which Abraham began nearly 4,000 years ago. The inclusivist faith is that Jews, divided by where they stand, are united by what they are traveling towards. The destination which alone gives meaning to Jewish history, the promised union of Torah, Jewish people, land of Israel, and God. And that is the message of Shabbat HaGadol, the Yom HaGadol, and that Eliyahu will come, we'll get this together, and the world will not be destroyed. We will reach the Geula in Nisan. And as we approach the season of unity in Eretz Yisrael between all the Jews, and we all agree on one thing, and that's the machlokas that we agree on, right? We all agree how much fun it is to get into arguments. We should continue to do that even after B'yat Mashiach. But that's, I think, that the message of Shabbat HaGadol is that it's important to realize that we still need to get, for all the machloket, we need to still need to come together. And not worry about people's hats. And I will stop there.